appreciate it. We're in Revelation this morning, chapter 4. That's why everybody was staring so intently. They're trying to figure out what chapter we're on. Revelation 4. This is a beautiful chapter, and it's made even more exciting for us because it's about us. And that's why it's always fun to look at chapters like this. So remember, chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation were the letters to the churches. And then in chapter 4, we never hear about the church again until the very end, where it says the Spirit and the bride say, come. And that's because here's the church. They're in heaven. Notice verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, and a sight like unto an emerald. Round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they had rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. When those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So I'm going to take my title from verse 10, fall down before him. Fall down before him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word and how you've recorded so many beautiful things in it for us, and even given us a glimpse of the future for believers. And for that we thank you, and we thank you that we can be excited about these things, Lord, knowing that they are real, that they're from the Creator. And Lord, as we contemplate this morning, may it stir our hearts how important it is that we worship you, for we will worship you for eternity. And I pray, Lord, that we'll be changed through the power of your word, by the Holy Spirit's input and reaching into our lives. And Lord, that we'll be responsive to him today. We ask all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what we've been given here is a glimpse of heaven by the Apostle John. And remember, he said, immediately after these things. Well, that is right after the church age, right after the letters to the churches, what comes next, but a trumpet and come up hither, and 24 elders in heaven. And as we study the elders, there's no question who they have to be. As we'll see, they have white raiment, which is the righteousness of saints. And as we'll see, they have crowns. And later on, we'll see that they sing a song about the redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. So these are not angels, and these are not separate beasts. They're not seraphims or cherubims. They're people that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and been given robes of righteousness and crowns. And talk about how God will allow them to rule and reign in the kingdom, which we'll see. So I just want to focus on a few things. But in those first 3 verses, John was given just a glimpse and gave us a overall description of what he saw. And of course, it will be much more amazing, much more beautiful than what we can even understand or comprehend. We know that because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But I'd like my first point to be that we will be there. Amen? We'll be there. And we don't even need to go any further. We'll be there. We get to be in heaven. And we get to see God. And spend forever with Him. And that's what we see there in verse 4. We see the 24 elders sitting. They are there. They are in heaven. And that they are sitting, which means their judgment is complete. And we know that they've received their judgment because they have their crowns, which are the rewards. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 3, God talks about these rewards and this judgment that we will all face as God's children, referred to in other places as the judgment seat of Christ. But notice verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 3. The Bible says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." We will be there. We will go through a judgment, and we will be there. If you go in 1 Corinthians 13 this time, just turn over a couple of chapters, 13, verse 12. We will be there with God. We will see God. 1 Corinthians 13, 12, look what it says. "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." I will know as I am known by God. In other words, God's going to give me perfect knowledge as well. And we will be there with the Lord. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, if you would. And the Bible teaches that, sure enough, we will see Jesus. We will see God. Notice 1 John 3, 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." So in other words, we can't completely comprehend what we will be. "But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Isn't that good? We shall see him as he is. And this chapter is about the 24 elders, which is us, and we will be in heaven. Hallelujah. Let's go back to verse 4 of our passage, Revelation 4:4. And my second point is, not only will we be there, but it says that we will be clothed in white raiment. We will be there because of Jesus. That's the only reason we will be there. We don't deserve to be there, and never have and never will. But because of Jesus, we've been made worthy to be there. And that's what the white raiment is talking about. Look over in chapter 5 of Revelation, verse 9. It says, "They sung a new song," still talking about the 24 elders. "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." These 24 elders are singing, "Jesus the Lamb has redeemed us by his blood." And if you go over to Revelation 19, verse 8, God explains what this white raiment represents. Revelation 19, 8. "And to her," that's talking about the church or the bride of Christ, "to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clear, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." Where did that righteousness come from? It came from Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." God has given us the righteousness of Christ. He's applied it to our accounts. It's called justification. Imputation. And we will be in heaven because of Jesus. And for no other reason but because Jesus loved us enough to die for us and rise again and offer us the gift of his righteousness, eternal life, only because of his kindness and mercy and love, not because we deserve it. So in this chapter, we will be there. We will be in heaven. We will see Jesus. We will see God. We will be in the presence of our Creator, and we will be there because of Jesus. But then on verse 4 again, number 3, and that is, God even rewards us. Think about that. It says they had on their heads crowns of gold. I mean, it's enough that we don't even deserve to be there in the first place. But not only is God going to allow us to spend forever with him in heaven, but he's even going to give us rewards for our service for him here on earth, which is amazing, which we read about in 1 Corinthians 3. But God talks about here crowns of gold. Isn't it interesting that the very thing that man strives for here on earth more than anything else, which is money, which is based on gold, every currency in the world is based on gold. We get to wear it on our heads. Amen? And we get to walk on it. We read in Revelation 21 about the streets of pure gold. But God here talks about crowns. And if you go to 2 Timothy 4:8, Paul talks about crowns as well. And yes, God promises to reward his servants who are faithful, who serve him with the right motive. As we saw in 1 Corinthians 3, some of our service will be burned up. It'll be wood, hay, stubble. But some of our service, some of it will be gold, silver, precious stones. And God knows these things. God knows our hearts. He knows our motives. But 2 Timothy 4:8, Paul says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Those who are waiting, those who are anticipating, those who are watching for the return of Jesus and preparing for it, so that, as it says in 1 John, they're not ashamed at his coming, but they're expecting it and they're living for it. Paul says, all those who love his appearing will receive a crown of righteousness. How beautiful is that? But go to James 1, and there's another crown mentioned. James chapter 1, verse 12. Where the Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that, what? Love him. We've certainly beat this up enough at family camp. We know that love is action, don't we? So God is saying those who love him, those who serve God, those who obey God, who obey his commandments and serve him, will receive a crown of life if they're willing to endure the temptations that they will face in their lives. God rewards us in heaven, at his judgment seat. And this reward is not only crowns, but if you go to Revelation 5 again and look at verse 10, again, this, the 24 elders are praising the Lamb, and it says in Revelation 5:10, and hast made us, talking about the 24 elders, unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And the reason they're still talking in future tense is because the kingdom hasn't come yet. They're in heaven, or we're in heaven, during the tribulation, and they're saying, we shall reign. The kingdom hasn't come yet. The kingdom doesn't come until Jesus comes to the earth. And guess what? If you read in Revelation 19, we come back with him. And when he sets up his kingdom, we reign with him. So not only do we receive crowns, not only do we get to be in heaven because of Jesus Christ and be in the presence of Almighty God and the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, but he even provides us crowns as rewards for our service to him, but he also then promises that we even get to rule and reign with him on the earth for 1,000 years. Wow. And all of that is a gift. We didn't earn any of it and didn't deserve any of it. We get to be in heaven because of Jesus, and he rewards us with crowns. He rewards us with ruling and reigning. He expounds upon it in Revelation 20, if you want to turn over there quickly, verse 6. You know, the chronology of Revelation is really not that complicated. You've got the churches in chapters 2 and 3. You've got the church in heaven in chapters 4 and 5. And then in chapters 6 through 18, you've got the tribulation period. And then chapter 19, it all ends. And Jesus comes back with his saints, judges the nations, sets up his kingdom. Chapter 20, sure enough, what does he mention in chapter 20, verse 6? Blessed as holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's us. Reign with him 1,000 years. God rewards us. But I'd like to go back to verse 10 and get to the point of my message this morning. And that is, we will worship him. We will be there because of Christ, yes, and we will be rewarded, but we will be worshiping him. We see the beasts worshiping him. We see the angels worship him. We see the seraphims and the cherubims worship him. But God wants man to worship him. He's wanted it from when he first created us. Notice verse 10 of Revelation 4. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. When was the last time that you got into your prayer closet and literally just fell down and worshiped him? Not in the spirit, but in your physically, your body, you fell down and worshiped him. Because you're going to be doing it in heaven. I don't know how often, I don't know how long, but we're going to worship the Lord. And we're not going to hesitate to do it, amen, because he's worthy of it. And we'll be there because of him, not because we deserve it. And we are going to fall down and worship him that liveth forever and ever. But we're commanded to worship him on earth too. And I'd like to show you some scriptures. Go to Psalm 95 and verse 6. We'll start in the Old Testament, then I'll show you some New Testament scriptures. But God wants us to worship him now. We're going to be worshiping him in heaven forever. God wants us to get used to worshiping him here on earth. And you know the reason why we don't want to fall on our face and worship him? It's all pride. Because we're just stubborn. That's really the bottom line. Psalm 95, verse 6, look what he says. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Do you do this every day? Do you literally kneel? Do you bow down before the Lord? Look at Psalm 96, verse 9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Look at Psalm 99, verse 5. 99:5. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. And then go back to Nehemiah just quickly. I want to show you something. Now, what happened here in Nehemiah is God allowed Nehemiah to go back and rebuild the wall at Jerusalem after Ezra had rebuilt the temple, and a revival broke out, a small one. There weren't a lot of people in Jerusalem at the time because most of them had already been taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. There was just a remnant, but that remnant built the wall and had a spiritual revival. And look what happens here in Nehemiah 8. This is the first time that they actually gather together and open the Bible together. It's actually where we get the pulpit from, the idea of a pulpit. It came from this passage. But notice in Nehemiah 8, verse 5, it says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Oh, yeah, up in verse 4, that's where I was talking about. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. So that's where the idea came from, to have a pulpit of wood. Anyway, verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. This was the beginning of the revival under the leadership of Nehemiah. It started with worship. They couldn't help themselves. They hadn't heard the word in ages. And now Ezra, they found a copy of the Bible and they opened it up, and before they began to read it, Ezra just praised God and the people just had to fall down. It says with their faces to the ground. They worshiped the Lord. And this is what God wants from us. Look at Romans chapter 14 now in the New Testament. And God reminds us that His desire is that every knee bow to Him. And by the way, every knee will. Some voluntarily and some because they have to. We see people bowing the knee at the great white throne judgment only to be cast into the lake of fire. But they still bow. Notice Romans 14:11. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord. What's it say? Every knee shall bow to me. And every tongue shall confess to God. Every knee shall bow. You know, we're born again. We're going to heaven. We get to see Jesus. We get to have crowns of gold. We get to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years in the kingdom. God says, bow the knee to the one who's worthy. And so back to our passage. Go to Revelation 5 this time. It says in verse 8, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. So we just saw them in chapter 4, or saw us in chapter 4, falling down and worshiping the Heavenly Father on His throne. Here then we see the same fall down and worship who? The Lamb. Because the Lamb is God. And then verse 11. Of Revelation 5. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So there, now you know how many people will be in heaven. It's a lot more than 144,000. Amen? It's thousands of thousands, which is millions. And it says that they all worshiped the Lord. And if you go to Revelation 15, quickly, verse 4, God prophesied of this worship in heaven. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, Revelation 15, 4, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. So let's finish our passage, Revelation 4:10. It says the 24 elders fall down. Listen, don't be afraid to fall down and worship the Lord. Don't let pride keep you from bowing the knee to God, because you'll be doing it in heaven. And it says they worship Him that live forever, forever, and they cast their crowns before the throne. So now we know the purpose of the crowns. It's not to wear them and show off and say, look at me, I have three, you only have two. We won't do that in heaven. What are we going to do but then turn around and cast them before the throne? Thank you, Lord, for giving me something that I can give back to you. Kind of like down here, isn't it? Verse 11, for thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Look at chapter 5, verse 9, talking again about the 24 elders. It says, and they sung a new song. Amen. To give you a bit of trivia, there's not one verse in the Bible that talks about angels ever singing. Study it and you'll find it to be true. Even at the birth of Christ, it says that they shouted and they spoke, but it never says they sang. But we sing, amen, a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book," talking to the Lamb, "and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." We're told in the Bible, sing unto the Lord a new song. David said, "He hath put a new song in my mouth." So that's why we sing, by the way, because we're going to be singing up there. Forever and ever, we're going to be singing praises to God as worship. And so the elders, which is us, they fall down before him. I think we should probably get used to doing that now here on earth. Amen. Don't be afraid to worship the Lord. Don't let the devil keep you through pride from bowing the knee to God every day and worshiping the one who gave you eternal life, who promised you heaven, who promised you crowns, who promised you the kingdom. All of these things he handed to you as a gift. He wants worship because he's worthy of it. Because he is the creator, because he is holy, because he is merciful and long-suffering and gracious and kind. And we could go on and on all day, couldn't we? He is worthy. So if he's worthy, then we need to fall down before him. So we will do it in heaven. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for this glimpse of